All right, we're so excited today. We celebrate Palm Sunday. And, you know, something always, you know, before I kick into what we're talking about here, we're going to talk about celebrating Jesus. But something always made me curious. I mean, you know, how many people rode into Jerusalem that day on a donkey, probably? You know, what singled Jesus out? You know, that they would say that he's the one. Then I got to thinking, and it kind of dawned on me up here just this morning, you know, the fact that how he lived his life, you know, the miracles, the things that came out of his mouth, you know, they're the ones that, you know, gave him credibility, you know, in the world there. And that's what we need to see. That's what gives us credibility, you know, in the world around us, is the fact that how we live our life and what we say and what we do. So all those things are important. And we're going to look today at the story of Palm Sunday a little bit, and I want to talk about the idea of celebration, what it means to celebrate Jesus. You know, I think we sometimes can, you know, do it. Sister Scarlett did an awesome job this morning. She celebrates, don't she? I mean, my personality is not like that. I want to be like that, especially when it comes to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, she really gets into it. That was awesome. All right, we're going to look today at Matthew 21 here in a moment. But, you know, as we're celebrating Palm Sunday today, you know, we know that Palm Sunday kicks off Holy Week, you know, and that's what, you know, the church calls this week coming up here. And the palm branch, you know, is a symbol of victory and triumph. You know, when conquering heroes would come home from battle, this is part of the thing that they do. They'd start, you know, waving palm branches and celebrating their victory and everything. And, you know, Jesus' victory was just coming. It wasn't there yet. So it's kind of a pre-celebration to some degree, because his victory came on the next Sunday when he rose from the dead. You know, and I'm sure that everybody, you know, when they got excited about Jesus and, you know, they figured that this it's happening, man. It's right before my eyes. Well, then Friday came. And everybody's going to have a Friday every now and then, right? And I'm sure they lost hope, but then we know that Sunday, and that's what we're heading towards, you know, next week as we come to celebrate Jesus, you know, again and again, the fact that he rose from the dead. And what was interesting here is that Jesus was finally revealing himself to the world. Remember, he always told people to keep it on the down low. Don't tell people who I am, you know, the timing wasn't right yet, but, you know, he was a conquering hero. And, you know, Jesus wasn't the hero that they wanted, but Jesus was the hero that they needed. And that's something that we need to see in our life and our walk with God, is what we need Jesus for him to reveal to us everything that he has for us. Sometimes we, you know, we come into Christianity and we have certain predisposed ideas on what it is we think we want out of the deal. I mean, that's how some people pick a church. You know, they say, you know, their whole, it's more of a consumer mindset, you know, instead of a God mindset. You know, they come in there and say, what's in it for me? You know, what can that church do for me? Instead of saying, God, what can I do for you? And see, that's the idea or the attitude, you know, that we need to develop to be a strong Christian. I'm going to kick it off in Matthew 21, verse 8 to 11. It says here, most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? All the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to worship you today. We thank you we can do it each and every day. Lord, we pray for a special stirring in our hearts, Lord, that we want more of you. Lord, we want to have the attitude of John the Baptist, that we must decrease and Jesus must increase. And Lord, we pray for that increase right now. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, history kind of tells us that this was not the only parade. So when Jesus came in the town, you know, he was coming from the east side, okay? And, you know, that was prophesied at the Eastern Gate and all this stuff, and I'm not going to go into all that right now. But, you know, also history says there's a parade that was happening on the west side, kind of a competing parade. to a degree. And what that parade was, it was the Roman soldiers were coming, and they wanted to have a show of power. And Pontius Pilate, who was the governor there, he was in the head of that parade. And what they did, you know, is they come into town, because with all Jerusalem being swelled up with all the people, the Jews coming in to worship for the Passover, they was worried about maybe an insurrection or problem starting. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to show how big and bad they were. So the Roman soldiers, they marched in the town, and I'm sure the sun, it was glistening on their helmet, you know, and on their breastplate, you know, which were just beautiful brass, you know, in color, and just shining like the sun, marching in unison, had their weapons, had a shield. You know, some of them were probably riding horses, some were on chariots, just coming in to show that I have the power. I have the power. Man's power. But then, as we look at this, you know, the idea of what all that's about is that the fact that, you know, as they demonstrated this political power, and many times in our culture today, you know, some people believe that the political power is stronger than God's power. But we know that's not true. But see, that's the world we live in, because man is always trying to control his destiny. And I'm not saying you just put your head in the sand, you know, but I'm just saying that there is proper levels of authority and submission to God, and we need to see that as we celebrate what God's all about, why Jesus came into the world and the mission that he accomplished and what he did for you and I, and how important it is that we understand. Because the Roman soldiers, as we know a little bit about their history, you know, they were, you know, the baddest of the bad and the toughest of the tough. I mean, when you went in there, they trained you, they made you tough, and a lot of them were not the most reputable people. They kind of took what they wanted. And really, that's the political power that we live in today. They take what they want. They do what they want. And that's the world system. It sticks its, the devil's sticks his head up in different ways of manifesting in our system, where he tries to take control of our life and tries to rob, you know, God of all the glory, you know, that he's supposed to have. So there is a battle, shall we say, between two worldviews we're taking here. Because, you know, what I see is the idea that the kingdom of man brings oppression to our lives. It doesn't set anybody free. And see, that's what the world wants to do. The world system and the political system, they try to give you just enough to get you on the hook so they have you all the time. And that's totally opposite of what God does. God came to set us free. And see, that's what Jesus jumped on that little donkey, and he rode into town, and he was bringing freedom. He was bringing freedom to the people. But see, they thought that he was bringing some political freedom. I mean, they were under a lot of oppression by the Romans. But see, Jesus was coming to set them free, you know, from the power of sin. And that's something that you and I, you know, need to understand, is the idea of what's really the big picture. Because here it talks about what true authority is. I want to read a passage here. I didn't put it on the screen, I don't believe. It's found in John 19, 10 to 11. So as Pontius Pilate was coming in on the west side, Jesus was coming in on the east side, and these two were going to collide again. Later in the week, when Jesus was arrested, you know, on trumped up charges, you know, they were fake charges, but they brought him before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius, he was there, and he was, you know, they was having sort of a interchange of talking, but Jesus didn't really talk too much. He kept his mouth shut. Most people, when they're in that situation, they're begging and pleading for their life. Because Pontius Pilate, as he says here in John 19, verse 10, 11, says, For Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you, and I have the authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would not have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered to me to you has the greater sin." I mean, I'm sure that just flabbergasted that guy. Nobody had ever back-talked to him. You know, what he said goes. He had the power of life and death. Thumbs up, you live. Thumbs down, you die. And Jesus didn't have none of it. He knew where authority came from. It came from the Father. And he said, you know, he didn't play the game. He kept his... Pilate was just amazed. All these people were speaking lies against him, and maybe you're living in that situation right now. Maybe people speaking lies to you. Maybe they're saying things that, you know, ain't really true about you. All I say is sometimes we just keep our mouth shut and let God be God. Amen? Let God be God. Let God deal with that situation on our behalf, because we know that we can put our trust totally in him. And Jesus, when he showed us this revelation about how the Father's really in charge, and we have to remember that. God's in charge of our situations. God's in charge of our circumstances. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We know the devil's coming in, you know, maybe from different directions. But we just need to put our trust in God. You know, maybe you're in a bad situation right now. Maybe things ain't going the way you want at work or at home, or maybe with family members, whatever it may be. All I want to say is God's grace sufficient for you? Is God's grace sufficient? See, it's in the times of trouble and when things are hard is when we tap into God. And see, we're going to go through the problem anyway. How many know the devil doesn't like you? He don't like me a lot either. And I know that sometimes attacks come against us and things go on in our life that's beyond our control. And I'll be honest, sometimes we do stupid stuff. I ain't going to lie to you. I've done that, you know, and bring these things into our life. But I found out in my life, and I hope you find this out too, that you just have to trust in God's grace. You have to lean on God's grace and say, God, you can get me through this. What can I learn through this attack from the devil? You know I'm going to go through it, but I'm not going to stay here. I know that. I know I'm going to the other side, you know, but right now I'm here. So I can either be in a pity party, or I can allow the devil to run roughshod over me, or I can say, God, I know that your power is greater. And your power, you know, as Paul found out with the thorn in the flesh, he found out that God's grace is sufficient no matter what the devil throws our way. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that have learned that through history. And we can, you know, take those lessons to heart. Now, the next I want to see here about Palm Sunday is the idea of the ta-da moment. You know, all of a sudden Jesus says, ta-da, right? Here I am. I've come. I'm the one. You know, I'm the Messiah. That's just what he told him right there that day. He hopped on that colt and just fulfilled some prophecy and rode into town, and, you know, everybody was there. Now, you know, to me, this was probably the greatest reveal party there ever was. You know, when God revealed himself to mankind. Now, a lot of people do reveal parties. You know, they go out and they, you know, get some things and, you know, and then they try to, you know, a lot of people try to one-up the last guy. You know what I mean? And there's been some serious things. I Googled it the other day just for fun. And, you know, it went from, you know, somebody shot like a, I don't know what it was, like a missile at a target. And it hit the target and blew up. And then I think it was a boy. Blue smoke came out. Well, started the whole field on fire. You know, ta-da. You know? And then, you know, another one. I mean, there's been people killed at reveal parties, you know, putting stuff in cannons and shooting them off and different things. Somehow we got these wild ideas on what it is that we want to do. And, you know, I remember seeing, you know, college, you know, some people pick their college and have a bunch of hats sitting in front of them. They're a D1 athlete, really, really good, and they're picking a college. And I've seen one of them grab the wrong hat one time. And everybody thought he was going to one college, and then he's not. And he, oh, I got to go to this one. You know, so there's been a lot of things out there that kind of want to show, reveal something, because, you know, it's a big deal sometimes when you reveal who you really are. And that's what God was doing right here. God showed us who Jesus really was. Because a lot of people thought he was a teacher and a prophet. Okay, and them are cool. Hey, a prophet, you know. They hadn't really had a lot of action in the spiritual realm, you know, for like 300 or 400 years. You know, from the time of Malachi to the time that, you know, John the Baptist came on the scene, and nobody liked to listen to John. I mean, the people went after him, but everybody else thought, wow, that guy's out there. You know, the religious people said, no, that can't be true. But see, there was kind of a dead time. Then all of a sudden, ta-da, here's Jesus. He came to show us what God was really like. God was not someone to press us and put us down like maybe the political leaders and take advantage of us. He came to set us free. He came to give us something. You know, I know it's salvation, but also there's something else that I think a lot of people look for, and that's peace. He came to bring peace. Peace to our hearts. So you have all these military people around the city carrying spears and swords and shields and, you know, hey, I'm here to bring you security. No, they brought oppression. Here's a dude riding on a donkey. You know what I'm saying? He rode into town. And he cleaned up that one horse town. Amen? That's what he did. Went in and cleared the money changers and all the corruption that was going on in the church or in the temple at that time. And, you know, how powerful it was because, you know, Jesus, as last week on earth, is he came to reveal himself as the God-man, the son of David. You know, the one who was promised. And, you know, I don't know how it would be, you know. I mean, you know, we don't live like that now because we have hindsight, and hindsight's 20/20. We know that Jesus has come, you know, and the Bible says he's coming again, you know, and we're kind of looking forward to that. But, you know, we kind of have a little cush there in a sense because, you know, if we die, we go to be with Jesus right now, you know. But back in the Old Testament, you know, they were kind of unsettled in some things. Wasn't really sure, you know, and, you know, how hard would it be as you lived your whole life waiting for the Messiah, and there he was riding on a donkey, and you couldn't even recognize him. And that's what happened to a lot of people. Now, some, you know, got all excited and yelling Hosanna and, you know, getting all carried on, and that's good. That's what we need to be. But I'm sure there's people looking on, and, you know, they just wonder, what's this about? What's this going on, you know? I mean, you know, Jesus, who's that? Who's Jesus? Jesus, in their culture, there's a lot of people named Jesus. It's Yeshua, or what we call the word Joshua. There's a lot of Joshuas born in that culture. You know, what about this one? What's so different about this Joshua? Yeshua. Well, we know that he was a chosen one. But like, we have hindsight. And see, it was so hard, you know, for people, if they lived their whole life and they missed it. And see, that's what we have today too. We got so many people living their life in this world today, and they don't recognize the time of visitation that God is coming into their life, and they reject it, and they miss out on the truth of Jesus Christ. How important it is to receive that truth. I know that timing's everything, and, you know, I think we talked about that a little bit last week. You know, there's times in our life when we're more open. And, you know, we need to be ready as a church to be able to reach out and to tell people about the promise of Jesus Christ and how it works out. Because this was a heavy revelation for the Jews, and becoming a Christian is a heavy revelation for us. As a matter of fact, as, you know, Sister Scarlett, I think, mentioned a little bit about the scripture, in Zechariah 9, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." So here we see what Jesus came to give, and that's a dominion of peace, and that's really what we all look for. That's why we celebrate Jesus. So many times in life we're stressing and striving and clawing and crawling maybe and trying to find peace, and, you know, we try to find it in so many different ways, and, you know, maybe if I just get a better relationship. A better relationship. The one I got now, isn't so good. We're not doing too good here. You know, I know there's somebody better out there for me. Or maybe we try to self-medicate and we take pills or we drink something, trying to find that peace, something that's going to take away this ache and break and heart. And all the while, what we should be looking for is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. I remember the night I cried out to him, and he set me free. He brought a peace in my heart that I've never experienced my whole life. And there was something that stayed with me since that day. But see, the idea of I received the truth of the reality of Jesus Christ. And see, many today that are around us, they celebrate war. They celebrate all the conquests of man and all the things that we've accomplished. But, you know, we need to see that, you know, God is celebrates peace. See, God's peace is stronger than man's weapons. And we need to understand that in our life, that we can have the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring. And no matter how we stress and strive and try to fight, you know, God is there. He can be with us, even in the face of adversity. Even as Jesus was standing for the man who thought he had the power of life and death, he had peace in his heart because he knew that his kingdom was not of this world. And really, our kingdom is not in this world. We try to build kingdoms, but our kingdom is with God. And we're part of the royalty. And see what we, getting back to Hosanna here and Palm Sunday, you know, screaming out Hosanna, that's not a word we use a lot in our culture, just every now and then, at least once a year we do, right, on Palm Sunday. Hosanna means save us now. And see, that's what we have to understand, how Jesus and how God, the Son, can come in and he can save our life. You know, maybe, you know, you're in a situation today and things don't look good. And you just don't know if you can go another step, let alone another mile. I say cry out to God. Hosanna. And really mean it. These people meant it. That's why they got so excited, and that's what we need to do. Get excited about Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. I know it's hard to keep up all the time because, you know, we go through life and there's the ebbs and flow of life where, you know, sometimes we're living on top of the mountain, and then every now and then we head down to the valley. That's just part of it, people. We go through it. Everybody goes through it. Anybody that says they don't go through it's a liar, because that's just part of life. And we can learn from each other and help each other as we get excited and celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate the fact that what he came to do and that Hosanna. So he saves us. He comes into our life. And, you know, and he as Jesus lived in that time of great oppression, where the Romans and were putting them down and holding them in bondage. Finally, they found something to celebrate. And that's what I want us to remember all the time, is that no matter what's going on around you, you can celebrate in you. You can celebrate in you. Because greater is he that's in you, amen, than he that's in the world. And the power of God and the celebratory, you know, to have that grace when God puts his grace on you. Maybe you're all stressed out, no matter what it is. But that grace, I just speak grace to your situation right now. But see, what they did, I guess to get that, I guess I left this part out, is that they were all in. It wasn't halfway. See, when they took their coats off, that was a symbol of a pledge. In that culture, if you borrowed money from somebody and they gave you the money, you would leave your coat as a pledge, knowing that you're good for it. So when you gave your coat, you're pledging that I'm good for this. I give all that I am. And see, that's what they were doing. When Jesus rode in there, they threw their coats on the ground for him to walk on. They're saying, Jesus, I'm all in. And see, that's what we need to do. All in celebration. Really getting into it, loving God with all our heart, and allowing him, you know, to take control of our situation and all powers of our life. Matthew 21, I want to look at here a little bit, because the world that we live in sometimes, you know, can be a bit much. And the world system is trying to silence the church. Matter of fact, the world system is telling you, shut up, stay in the church. Leave that stuff in there. We don't want it out here. I can pick what I want. I can choose what I want. It's my life. I can do whatever. Life is a gift from God. And we need to give it back to him. But see, that's the world we live in. But see, God has given us the power. See, I know that, you know, what oppression's all about. I mean, I'm old enough to know now. I've been in a lot of battles. I mean, I've had to learn to fight, or I would be, I don't want to say dead, but I'd quit. Just give up. You know, just throw in the towel. Just go and live my life and do what I want and kumbaya. But see, I know too much now. That's the bad part, or in the good part, is I know that God's real. I know the Bible's true. Man, there's nowhere to go except down. And I want to keep going up. I want to keep ascending. So as I go through these battles, I've learned some things over the years. And it's helped, you know. I mean, God bless, me and my wife are opposites. You know what I mean? Opposites about everything. Not just that we're boy and girl. I mean, that's a, you know, that can be a challenge in itself, right? But, you know, we think differently. I mean, the only thing that we agree on in the beginning was God. You know, I kid you not. It was God. And we both loved him. And we did not want to fail him. And so we, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're having stress at work and have problems at work. And then you go home and, you know, here's somebody that don't think like you think. And all of a sudden, wow, there's no place to go. There's no place to escape. I'm making it sound worse than it really was for the moment. Well, the first year was tough. I ain't gonna lie to you. But, you know, there's just things that we learned along the way. How to fight. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we do our part, but some things you just got to let over to God. And learn to fight and control your mind. You know, learn how to control your thoughts. Because if you let your mind go, it's over. You might as well just follow that thing to the valley. Because that's where you're heading. Until you snap out of it. But now we're going to look at something else that's going to help. Something that we probably all know. But we're going to do it. We'll talk about it anyway. Sometimes we need to remember things, right? Amen. Where's my keys? Oh, they're over there. Matthew 21:14-16. Here's Jesus. He had made it in the town, went through the gate, the eastern gate, cleaned out the temple. You know, they were in there extorting people. You know what I mean? For money. And he dealt with that. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, some kids, you know. How many love kids? We love kids here at this church. Amen. We just love them. You know, but the Pharisees thought they were annoying because they were doing something. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. So, the word praise there. So that's what we're going to look at right now, is that we need to get our praise on. Amen? You know, there's that commercial back in the old days. Some of you may be too young for this. You know, when clothes were had dirt on them and they had shout, I suppose it's still, they sell that still, you know, shout it out. You know, sometimes we just got to shout it out. Right. You know, no matter how you feel. You know, maybe you're feeling lazy. Maybe you don't want to get your old bones out of bed. Shout it out. Tell your flesh what to do. Amen? Yeah. Now, many of you probably know that reading right there, the last part of it, was a quote. It was a quote from Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Okay? Psalms 8, verse 2. And it says, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established praise. No, it didn't say praise in the Old Testament. It says strength. Strength. It says you have applied strength for yourself. And so what I want us to see, it says then that because your adversaries to make the enemy revengeful in this case. Now, what I see from this is that, you know, Jesus interchanged two words from that passage. He took the word strength in the Old Testament and left it out, and then in the New Testament he put praise. I don't think Jesus made a mistake. Matter of fact, I know he didn't. He was wanting us to see that the power that's in praise for our life. There's strength in praise. Now, if you're going through, like I just, is in my Bible reading today. I just read it. It's funny how all things come together. But it talked about how David would come and play an instrument for Saul and chase the demons away. Saul had sinned against God and God had taken the anointing away from him and he gave it to David. And then Saul was being tormented by the devil. You know, sometimes the devil tries to torment us. So what they did is they called for somebody and David played music And the evil spirits left. I believe Elisha had the same thing. He played, when he wanted the anointing to come, they played played music. See, there's a power that's in music. Now, we know that, and I'm not going to pick on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, but I'm just saying, you know, you get what you listen to. You know, so if you're in the fight for your life, if things are, your life is being destroyed around you, you know, I would not cue up, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille." You know what I mean? I would probably choose something else. You know, just say it. You know, if your marriage isn't going very good, you know, I would not probably play that song. You know, I don't know. But see, there's power and strength in praise. And we plug on our worship music, and we have something right now that, man, when I first got saved, we didn't have all this technology. We had cassette tapes. I mean, it wasn't 8-track. I mean, I was after the 8-track. But, you know, you'd have to cue up your songs. And, you know, I remember Brian, when we used to put music together for the church, he'd have to build these cassettes, you know, and all. I mean, we're very limited. But today we have YouTube. And all these different things, we can just cue up some worship songs and just chase that devil off. If you got strife in your house, you got problems in your life, you know, put on some worship music. Start praising God. Sing out loud. You know, don't just listen. Get into it. Dance before the Lord. Start praying and say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save me, save me, save me now. I need you." And allow God to start to move in our life and in our situation. See, the word strength here, or in my Bible, in the New Testament, where he had prepared strength. You know, the word prepared is equal to perfected, but it puts, what it means is to put a thing in appropriate order. So what it does is, what I see from it is that we praise a lot of things, right? We praise our wives, hopefully, men. "You look pretty today. That looks nice on you." But what this is talking about is that when we use praise towards God, it's the most appropriate thing that we can do. That's what praise was for, was to worship God and to give God all his due. Amen? Give him everything, you know, that he has coming to him. And as we do that, we start to tap into that flow, and, you know, and we start to see that. So what I see from it is that, you know, we need to live a life of celebration. We need to celebrate God for who he is and not just for what he does, and that's what it can come to, right? We celebrate God for what he does in our life. "God, you saved me, and that's good. We celebrate that. But Lord, you give me this and you give me that." And then when things aren't going well, then we lose our celebration. It's not, you know, we don't celebrate God for what he gives us and what he's done for us. We celebrate him for who he is. Especially Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we tap into that, you know, and what I see from this is the children were doing it. I mean, they were just letting go, just like we had our kids here today. I mean, how many of you adults would have really walked around and waved palm branches today in front of everybody? Come on, be honest. One? Two? Yeah, I figured that. Yeah. Three? Scarlett did it. She's good. But the children, they just did it. I mean, some of them, I don't even know if they knew they were going to do that when they got here. My wife just enlisted them in the army of God. Amen? So, hey, this is what we're going to do. See, we need to become like a child to be fearless in our praise to God. Simple as that. We need to be fearless. You know, don't be afraid. And if you're afraid of what people think about you worshiping God where you're sitting right now, move to the other side. Amen? You set wherever you think you can be free. You know what I'm saying? And just get into God. I remember we've had people come to the church, and, you know, and they were supposed to stay, but they didn't. And they said, "I can't come no more." And I go, "Why?" And he says, "When I come, I just cry when we worship." Okay. That's what we're supposed to do. But they were so embarrassed. I says, "Well, go upstairs if you want to. You know, just kind of go up there, and then when you're done, come on down." You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever it takes. But, you know, that's what we're going for. We want to be touched. That's why we praise God. That's why we get in it. So we need to, when we praise, our 100% focus needs to be on God, not about what we're doing the rest of the day or things like that. And when we focus on the horizontal instead of the vertical, we are robbing God of his well-deserved praise. And that's what we need to do, is make sure we have it correct. And we don't celebrate the cross, who was on and what he did at the cross. And we're going to go into that more next week, how all that entails. You know, I thank God for the cross, because what it has done for you and my life, I mean, somebody had to do it, right? Because of our sins. I mean, we're that messed up. And God did it himself. So, I want to close with saying the church needs to get excited about Jesus again. We need to find it wherever it's at, deep down inside, that we need to get excited about Jesus. Because it's all about him. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who went to the cross. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's the one who has a name that's above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow. That's going to be a cool day. I can't wait for that day. Thank you, just looking. And here's Jesus standing right there. And the whole world is just on their knee, bowed to him. Thank you. Praise God. That's a grand and glorious time. Amen? But it starts with us now. We don't need to wait till we get to heaven to praise God. We can do it right now. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.